Welcome in, everyone, to the 75th episode of the Deep Dive Dynasty Podcast. We are your hosts, Toby Collis Hanford and Colin Winship. How have you been doing, Toby?
Pretty fantastic. I watched the Monday Night Football game last night at a restaurant.
Oh, true.
And good story. I won a Jared Goff jersey, so...
Biggest Jared Goff fan I know. Yeah, anytime you go win free merch, hey, that's beautiful. Add it to the collection. This week, we thought we'd go into the community because, you know, it's finally in the middle of the season.
Yes.
You've seen your players go for a couple weeks, and you're starting to fill the voids. You recognize, you know, what moves you've got to make yourself a true contender, or maybe the very opposite, and really go all in on the tank. And so we are going to be evaluating community trades here. I reached out to you all on Twitter and on Reddit, and we have 35 to 40 responses here, so we're going to be moving fairly quickly through these trades. As always, make sure to follow us for stuff like this on Twitter at Deep Dive Dynasty to keep up with everything we got going on, because we'll be doing more of these before the end of the season, probably around trade deadline time. We're definitely going to do another one of these episodes, so if you want in on that, make sure you're following us over there. Toby, we only got one response on Twitter. How dare you guys? Come on, I need more responses here, but at least Reddit pulled through. I think we know where this one's going to go, but this is what the one trade is. In a 12-team half-point PPR Superflex league, Dan Evelyn traded Taylor Heinicke for Raheem Mostert and a 2023 first.
What?
Yeah. I saw this and I was like, that's not going to take too much analysis.
The most valuable part is the first.
Absolutely.
I want the first. And Raheem, I guess. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I think Heinicke for Raheem would be a reasonable trade.
Sure.
I could see both sides of that one. And to add a 2023 first, which, by the way, 2023 is supposedly an amazing top-end draft. So 2023 firsts are really valuable assets. So yeah, this is an absolute smash. And Dan talked a little bit about his team, the fact that he now has three 2023 firsts. And you're looking pretty good there, Dan. Now we're going to move over to Reddit. And we've got quite a lot to go through here. We're going to start it off with this first question from Lerotac. In Dynasty, 12-team Superflex PPR with a 1.5 tight end premium.
Okay.
He's rebuilding, and he traded Saquon and Tannehill for Zach Wilson, an early 2022 first. And he says it's either going to be the first or the second pick, a late 2022 second, and a 2023 first. So you're looking at Saquon and Tannehill for two firsts, a second, and Zach Wilson.
This one's more difficult for me.
For sure, for sure.
Evaluating Barkley at this moment in time seems disastrous.
Difficult to do, for sure.
If he's in a rebuilding phase, then I'm totally fine with this. I don't think that Zach Wilson is a valuable asset at this point in time. Like, I don't...
I think it's pretty valuable if you're rebuilding. He's got a lot of upside.
Yeah, he does have a ton of upside. Did you see that he had as many interception as completions? Poor guy.
Was that true at the end of the game? I know that was true early on, but he ended up with more than four completions, didn't he? I thought that was just how the game started.
That might have been a halftime stat.
How I would look at this is, I don't know if you got full value. Like, I think Saquon will eventually get healthier, probably be worth a little bit more, and Tannehill as well. I think you're selling these guys a little bit low, but at the same time, you don't necessarily want to be holding these guys if you are rebuilding. Like, if you're in a full rebuild, it makes sense to move on from these type of assets. So I definitely don't mind it. And hopefully that first that you say is either the first or second pick will end up being super valuable. And there's some studs in this draft. Next from Mouth Toilet, which is a great name. He says he's a middling squad and he's going to try to flip some of the pieces he got here. But this is the trade that he went with. He gave away Lamar Jackson and Juju. And he received Zach Wilson, David Montgomery, Sammy Watkins, a mid to late first this year, and a mid to late first next year. So if you're a middling team, you're moving stud quarterback, solid wide receiver, but you're getting back the better running back, obviously Monty, Zach Wilson, future upside guy, and two firsts.
I want the two firsts as part of the package deal. I think it is very close, but I would sooner take the latter half of this deal.
I think I would want Lamar, so I'm on the opposite side here.
Okay.
Because Juju and David Montgomery, like, I obviously value Montgomery more, but not by an insane amount. And then basically I'm looking at Zach Wilson and two later firsts. So it's basically three late firsts. That is a solid return for Lamar. But if you're confident that those are going to be a little bit later, I just don't see them as quite as valuable. It makes some sense. You got to build your depth up and everything. But I would probably be trying to get a little bit more for Lamar, maybe selling him when he's a little more at his peak value. Then from Who's the Lucky Punta? They're going to hit us with these names the whole episode. You got to know.
I like it.
In 12 teams, Superflex, half PPR, he was offered Kelsey, Damian Harris, and a 2021 first for Hawk and Gibson. So Hawkinson and Gibson, you're getting Kelsey, Harris, and a first.
Yeah, get Kelsey, Harris, and the first. Yeah.
Okay. I think that one's really close for me. Toby's more bullish than I.
Oh, I want that.
To me, the difference between Hawkinson and Kelsey is not significant. You know, we talked about this all offseason that I'm big on Hawkinson. He's in that top group for me. Then the Damian Harris in a first versus Gibson is also reasonably close to me. I love some Gibson. I can definitely see either side of it. He actually says that both of these teams are top three competing teams this year. So if you're both really going for it, I can see perspectives of why this would work for both teams. Like Kelsey is going to be better for just this year, but then Gibson's likely to be better than Damian Harris for just this year. So it's almost like it balances out. It's definitely a close one, but the fact that he's also such a good team and it's that super late first makes me a little more confident going with Gibson and Hawkinson, who I think will be locked in studs for a long time. Next from Scott G, he says he's been offered a 2022 second and Gallup for Henderson. What do you think about selling Henderson now based off of what he's done?
This is a tricky one for me.
Okay, feeling the opposite. So we've been very different through these so far.
I think you do want to sell Henderson.
Okay. Do you think that's enough to sell Henderson? Second this year and Gallup?
No.
That's where I am too.
I understand the appeal of wanting to sell Henderson. Mm-hmm. Totally understand it. It's an asset you want to move, and I'm behind that. But Gallup right now, he's not exactly proven his worth through these first two games of the season. And I feel like we know what we're...
I mean, he's just hurt now. He looked pretty good that first week.
Pretty decent. Injured. We don't know exactly if he's going to be on the Cowboys. You know, he could be in a way better situation. Could be worse. He's more of an unknown commodity. Everything that Daryl Henderson is right now is he's just the RB1 for a team. It's looking pretty locked and loaded. I don't think Sony Michel is going to mess with that too much. The Rams look fantastic. They're going to be winning a lot of games. They're going to want to run the ball. You can get more than a second and Gallup.
That's how I feel too. He also says he is competing, but Henderson's is running back 4, so that's why he's looking to move him.
Yeah.
And I get that. I agree, though, that I think holding on, you can get a little bit more. And also, don't undervalue the potential of a really strong RB4 because you can run into injuries a lot quicker than you think they will come. So this is the type of deal I'd probably be waiting for near the trade deadline, see if my rest of my roster is still healthy, because realistically, Henderson does have higher value now than he probably will in a year. Great name. We got Ryan Bestbrook. He just switched Brian Westbrook's first and last initial. He says in 12-team PPR Superflex with, again, 1.5 tight end premium. Right before the season, a rebuilder got Dobbins, Mooney, Gesicki, and a 2023 first.
Okay.
And a contender got Miles Sanders, Kupp, Hunter Henry, Robbie Anderson. Big trade, a lot of moving parts.
Okay.
You know me, I'm always trying to break these things down person by person, make it a little simpler. Hunter Henry to Gesicki is not a crazy big difference for me. And that's pretty similar with Dobbins and Miles Sanders as well. Like, I think you can kind of rule those out. Obviously, I don't know if this was before or after Dobbins got hurt. I would guess after. But the big difference and the big mover for what's changed since the season has started is that Kupp has exploded in value. He just so clearly looks to me as the number one read in this offense. It's a really good offense. We talked about all this last week. Even though that 2023 first helps a lot, especially because it's going to a rebuilder, if I'm the contender, I'm pretty happy with this. And if I'm the rebuilder, I'm pretty happy with this too. It makes sense. You're sitting on Dobbins when you're wanting to lose this year. He's a perfect asset to have. You grabbed an extra first, and everything else is pretty much a lateral move. So I think both sides made a good move here. Rebuilder did well. Contender did well. So Bronton here tells me that this question really comes down to, are you comfortable trusting your quarterbacks in a one quarterback league of Jameis and Darnold until Lance is startable? Or should he go for a bigger name quarterback to have right immediately? So he's got two trade offers here. The first one is giving Melvin Gordon and Jonnu and getting a 2022 mid-first. So
yes, do it.
Yeah, I like that play.
I like that a lot.
And the second one is, and number two, give away Melvin Gordon and Jonnu and get Russell Wilson.
Oh, no, do that one. I think I would like that more. The only issue is, if you trade Melvin and Jonnu to get Russ, then you have too many quarterbacks on your team, especially if this is one QB. Mm-hmm. At that point, you need to start going, okay, I got Wilson. Time to get some of these other quarterback assets off my team.
Yeah, because it's one quarterback, obviously Wilson isn't as valuable. But first of all, I would say take one of these deals. Like you expressed in this comment that, you know, you're not sure if you can lose Melvin Gordon. You have Dalvin, Jonathan Taylor, Javonte Williams in the wings. Even like Tony Jones is useful. I would be confident enough that you want to move on from Melvin now. We talked about this last week. I feel like it's a good time. So I would be making one of these trades for sure. Mm-hmm. If you're just talking, then which is it? The mid-first or Russell Wilson? I think most likely Russell Wilson's probably the guy who has more value there. You can probably then flip a Trey Lance and get reasonable value too. Because if you have Wilson, you know you're locked in for 5 years at quarterback. Okay, in this next trade, he actually gave me 7 trades. So we're going to go rapid fire here, okay?
Okay, I'm ready. I'm just going to go gut instinct.
Yeah, that sounds about right, because I don't know if we can stop down on all 7.
Who is this user we're talking about here?
This is Amaku the Kenku.
Okay.
I actually think I nailed that, but I could be completely wrong. In Dynasty 12 team, 0.5 PPR, one quarterback league.
All right.
He is building youth. That's his strategy right now. So all of these are in that context. Trade number one, Derrick Henry, Russell Wilson, Donovan Peoples-Jones for Swift, Jalen Hurts, the next 2 years first, so a 2022 first, a 2023 first.
Just depends so much on how you value Henry, but I
take this all day.
I would too. I don't like losing those two assets, but it is worth it. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Like, I prefer Russell Wilson to Jalen Hurts, but in a one quarterback league, just not by a crazy amount. And then to go from Henry to DeAndre Swift and to get two firsts on top of that, it's money all day. So that's where I'm going there. Here's trade number two. Galladay and a 2022 second for Herbert.
I'd rather have Herbert.
At this point, I would too. By the way, these are trades that happened in a startup draft, so I assume it was before the season. You know, I got to admit, Galladay's value, though I'm sure he's dealing with injuries, it can easily turn around.
Yeah.
But it's got to be lower than it was at the start of the season. But I agree. I think I'd rather take Herbert. And if you did that other trade too, and you have Jalen Hurts and Herbert as your two quarterbacks, I mean, that's, you're rich at the position in a one quarterback league. Trade three, Deebo Samuel and Philip Lindsay for James Robinson and next year's first.
Yeah, I'd take James in a first.
I would too. That's even with Deebo totally working out. He's mm-hmm. exceeded expectations completely, but I would take J-Rob in the first. Trade number four is Fournette and a fourth for Landry and a second. For me, it's pretty clearly Landry in a second. I would take Landry over Fournette, and I would take a second over a fourth.
Would you?
Yeah, that one's easy in my eyes.
I'm in agreement there.
Now is in season, all after week one. Tyson Williams,
okay,
a third, and a third the year after. So Tyson Williams and 2/3 for Dyami Brown and a second.
Tyson and 2/3.
I think I'm the opposite. I think in the case that this guy said he's more on that rebuilding side, building youth, Tyson Williams is more of a sell now to me. I think he's going to be useful for the year, but Gus and Dobbins are locked into those roles that I don't think he's going to have a lot of staying power. So I'm willing to move off from him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Trade number two, James Robinson, Ayuk, and his first for A.J. Brown. Toby's struggling over here, so I'll give my take. Go for the stud, give me A.J. I think James Robinson is going to be solid for this year, but he still hasn't even impressed me that much so far. Plus, obviously, Etienne will be back next year. Ayuk is the largest question mark in the league right now, and one first. That price in total, I think A.J. Brown is worth more.
I would take A.J. as well.
And finally, Zach Pascal for a third and a fourth. I'll take the picks.
Yeah, I'll take the picks. Pascal is popping in the end zone. There hasn't been a week that hasn't featured Zach Pascal celebrating.
Sure.
And yet, I'm still taking the picks.
Yeah, if you're, especially if you're rebuilding, I don't want Zach Pascal on my team. He has no long-term upside. There you go, seven trades. It's a lot to go through for your boy, Amaku. Here from Sand Lapper 90. Tasty stuff. You got 12 team dynasty, 0.5 PPR, one quarterback league. You give away Mike Evans. You get Robert Woods, a 2023 first, and 100% of the fab for this year.
I like that one a lot.
I do too. The fab, sure, it might help a little bit. It's not a big deal. I just think the first alone is worth the drop from Mike Evans to Woods. So yeah, the fab is a little bonus on top. I'm happy to go and grab that 2023 first. Which, by the way, a lot of these trades have included 2023 first. Yeah. Clearly those are on the move right now.
I'm also not going to be surprised if Robert Woods starts really picking up the pace as the weeks go on.
It's possible. I am a little bit scared with what I've seen with the underlying stuff, but again, I think selling him now would be selling him low. Like, he'll turn it around to some degree. Okay, Grin and Barrett is the next one, and this one's probably not as helpful to everyone else, so we'll run through it quickly. It's a contract league, but he has Mahomes on contract till 2024, and he sent away Tyson Williams and a first. It's hard for me to know, you know, so he's got Mahomes on a contract of $11 million until 2024. I don't know if that's crazy overpriced, underpriced. We don't know the budget, but I mean, on the surface, you lose Tyson Williams and a first, and you get Mahomes. I think you'd take that trade all day.
It seems good.
Yeah.
Kansas City paid him $500,000. No.
You're only paying him 11. Or half a bill, you should say.
Half a bill. My apologies. Yeah. Mahomes, we're going to give you $500,000.
Do you accept? He's like, I don't even know if I can buy a house in Kansas City for this.
I'd like to speak to my agent.
Okay, next we've got Born Choice 4976. In Dynasty, 12-team, single quarterback, one PPR. Give Kamara, Tony Jones, and a 2024 second. He gets two firsts this year, one first next year, and Bateman. So three firsts and Bateman for Kamara, Tony Jones, and a second.
I mean, you're getting three firsts for Kamara at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's essentially...
The other stuff is relatively unimportant to me.
I think Bateman is almost worth one of those firsts. You know, he was going right at the end of the first, early second. So he's more valuable to me than Tony Jones in the second.
Yes, I would agree with that.
So I'm definitely willing to make this move.
I'm making the move as well. It just it hurts to lose Alvin, but it's part of the process.
Especially if you're in some sort of rebuild, this makes all the sense in the world. So yeah, I like the essentially four first round picks. I'm pretty happy with that return. Next from WWE Title Belt, you've got 12-team, half PPR. Both teams are playoff contenders, maybe not the championship favorites. A.J. Dillon for this year's first. Give me a first.
Give me a first.
Yeah.
Give me a first.
A.J. Dillon's been better than what I thought he would be coming out into the NFL, but I still do not think he is worth a first-round pick. Next, I'm not going to say that name out loud. You can go look it up on the Reddit thread if you want.
Wow.
It is 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium. Says he's weak at tight end, and he has CeeDee, Jefferson, Hill, and Deontay at wide receiver. So the question is, would you move Justin Jefferson for Hockenson and DJ Moore?
Yes, I would.
Worth it?
It's worth it in terms of his team's construction. I agree.
I kind of agree. I like DJ Moore quite a lot as a target, obviously, and Hockenson in a tight end premium, he can be scoring you some mad points, so I think I like it too. Rare to have a deal where I'm not taking the Jefferson side, but this is one of them. Next, from Huge Name, in a 10-team, single quarterback PPR league, give Pollard and a mid to late second, and you get Jamal Williams and a first, early to mid. I'm taking the first. Yeah, obviously these are two backup running backs, and I would prefer Pollard, but the difference is not late second to early first. Like, I'm going just the pick all day. After the draft goes by and you look at those players, like if you threw in Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth as the two guys in this trade, then it's like, oh, you're clearly going to side with the early first type player. Yeah. This one from TPY, in a dynasty 12 team, single quarterback, full PPR before the season started, traded Brandon Cooks and Sam Darnold for Tom Brady.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm a big Brandon Cooks believer, obviously.
Yeah.
But the question is, Sam Darnold's obviously much worse than Brady, and Brady is out balling for these first 2 weeks. If Sam Darnold's going to be in the league for the next 10 years, then I'm with the Darnold side. I just don't know if he will be. That's the complicated thing. And I'm trying to think of, if you made this trade before the year, I think I'd do it.
Yeah. So he does give a bit more context in terms of like how he ended up with Hurts. It was in the rookie draft with some weird extra rules. I think you can absolutely contextualize it to be worth it. And he admits that Cooks has looked better than he expected. Me as well. But for me, the biggest issue is this is acquiring Tom Brady, obviously. You know, he said he's going to play till 50, so maybe this is a guy you got for five more years. Who knows? But you're acquiring a 45-year-old in a single quarterback league. And sure, you are right. If this improves his quarterback situation because his other starter would have been Baker, it's a big improvement. Brady looks great. I think he's going to continue to be good all year. You have to be in absolute win-now contender mode for this trade to make a lot of sense to me, and you're not giving up a crazy amount. Sam Darnold in a one-quarterback league, it's whatever. Brandon Cooks, he's replaceable. He's even listed as wide receivers. Brandon Cooks, solid there. But this is more a deal I would have maybe considered at the trade deadline if I'm locked into being a contender. I think before the season was a little bit too early for me to go out and acquire such a short-term asset in a position that is relatively replaceable. This one from Lars9 says, in a 12-team Superflex full PPR where he's rebuilding, the Winston owner wants his Aaron Rodgers. What is the difference between Rodgers and Winston? A first-round pick might seem too high, but a second seems light. So he's thinking, like, should he get a first and Winston, or would you be willing to take a second and Winston? The fact that it's a super flex for me, I'm definitely not taking a second and Winston.
No.
I think Rodgers is worth too much. Like, you know, we've been talking about before last week that Winston is a bit of a sporadic guy. You can't absolutely lock him in like you can with Aaron Rodgers. And he showed it to us in week two. He did not look nearly as good as week one.
He looked bad.
Yeah, I agree. And so I would absolutely be asking for a first. And even if I'm looking at it in terms of in a super flex league, a first and Winston for Rodgers, I think I might still side with Rodgers. So that's one that I'm definitely asking for the first if you're looking to make that move. And I might even ask for a little bit more on top. What do you think, Toby?
Because of the volatility of Winston, I'm just with you. I'm just agreeing with your analysis on there. I can't argue against that.
Yeah. I think if you're going full rebuild, you don't even want Winston. Just go trade your Rodgers for some other picks.
Yeah.
That's how I would do it. Next one from Praise Breezes, which is just a name I love.
Great.
In an 8-team PPR league where we start two tight ends, he got the Hawkness Monster and Singletary for Mixon. So in this league, obviously tight ends are important. 16 are getting started every week.
I'm making this trade.
So you're liking
Hawkness Monster. And Singletary is not looking bad out there.
Okay, yeah. Like,
it's not that if you pinched off into a terrible spot and you have to start Singletary, like scored more points than Mixon last week. It's not unthinkable that you play him, because I think that Hawkinson is going to be able to bolster his roster and hopefully overcome the deficit he's taking at running back.
Yeah, he says his depth there is Monty, Sanders, and Henderson.
Right.
And he's got a fairly wide receiver heavy team. He didn't have another tight end. The other guy had a tight end to spare, etc. It makes some sense. It's really tough for me between those two. I feel like I lean that Mixon has slightly more value than that duo, but it is really close. I don't hate it at all. It's totally fine. If it makes your starting lineup better, I totally get it. But if it was me, I probably would have been, you know, nickel and diming him, trying to, like, come on, just throw a third on, something like that. That's what I do, though. I'm never taking even deals, pretty much is how it goes. This one's got two for us in a 12-team 0.5 PPR Superflex. Team A gets Davante Adams and a late second. Team B gets Russell Wilson, Davis Mills, and Zach Moss.
I want the Adams. I want the first part.
I do too.
The Zach Moss and Davis is, you know, kind of similar to a second. It's close enough. If you're looking at Adams versus Wilson, I get it. Wilson's a locked-in quarterback. He's great. But if you can afford that quarterback loss because you're not replacing him in this trade, if you've got any sort of depth there, Adams is enough of a difference maker that I want to go get Adams.
Yes.
In the second trade here, Team A gets Alvin Kamara, Antonio Brown, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and an early second for a late first, a late second, a 2024 first, two 2024 seconds, Chark, Rager, Jordan Love.
Oh my goodness.
Big trade. Okay, so you're looking at two firsts, 3 seconds, Chark, Rager, Jordan Love for Kamara, AB, DPJ, and a second.
I want the second half. There's too many picks there for you to miss on all of them at that point.
There is a lot there. It's tough. I'm always, you know, I'm of the mindset that you want to get the studs, and the stud in this trade is
Alvin Kamara.
Kamara. But there is quite a lot there, even beyond the picks. You know, Chark and Rager and Jordan Love in a super flex league. Like, these are all guys that have some value. So yeah, I think I lean as well towards taking all the picks and the assets. And by the way, that question was from Superfast, so I didn't say that before.
Superfast.
This next one's from Hypersonic. He says, Kamara and Daniel Jones for Hurts, Cup, Drake, and this year's first, second, and third. I guess I'm all over the Cup train, but...
It's just too hard to say no to Cup right now.
It's an upgraded quarterback, and then even taking that upgrade out of it, you've still got Cup, Drake, a first, second, third. I think I'm taking that deal.
I'm taking Cup.
So I think you won that side because that's the side he got. And then in a second, monster deal, he trades away Winston, Taysom Hill, 4 firsts, 3 of which are this year and 1 is next year. And he got Russell Wilson, Dalvin Cook, Madison, a 3rd, and a 4th. So
I would take just the obscene number of picks. I also think it's worth remembering that these first round picks, you don't even necessarily have to hit on all of them. You can go and trade these first round picks for other players. Just having the value of collecting a first round pick doesn't mean that you are now in grinding research mode. You can trade these picks as well at a later time.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I agree. I think the value is slightly on the 4 firsts because it's not just them. It's also the Saints quarterback situation there, which I get that it's an absolute upgrade to Russell Wilson, but then you've got Dalvin Cook. You could maybe equate him to like 3 firsts. You know, I think the side with the 4 firsts gets it. But I mean, if your team's great, and you can take a great team and add Wilson and Dalvin Cook to it. Like, maybe this is what, you know, locks you in as the clear top option, then it could make sense. But, you know, other than that, I do think the value is slightly on the side with all the firsts. Then a name I can't really pronounce, Kung Fijikin, something like that. In a 10-team PPR Superflex, Team A gets Travis Etienne. Team B gets Robert Woods and Nyheim Hines. So Team A says they're rebuilding and has Akers and Dobbins and Swift. So he's just adding Etienne to that core. If you're full on rebuilding,
makes sense to take Etienne. Yeah.
And then Team B is an immediate contender lacking wide receiver depth. So they were trying to go out, get Robert Woods. I think it makes some sense too. Who do you think won just strict value?
Etienne.
At this point, I agree as well. Yeah. I think it makes sense. But yes, I get it. If you're a contender, you don't want Etienne sitting on your bench all year. You need to go out and get some usable wide receiver like Woods. Makes sense. Next one from Matt Boy in a 10-team PPR IDP league.
Oh.
Not Toby's specialty. A contender got Josh Jacobs, Kwity Paye, 2022 second, and the rebuilder got Miles Gaskin, Jamin Davis, Darnell Mooney, and Derek Carr. I think I like the rebuilder side. I prefer getting the quarterback there. I don't know if this is super flex or not. That could make a big difference here. But, you know, Derek Carr, I think, is a very underrated asset. Jamin Davis is someone who I think will be very good for a long time. You've got Darnell Mooney's probably about equal to the second. And then it's like Miles Gaskin and Derek Carr for Josh Jacobs. You know, I think I barely like that for the rebuilder, but it's a close trade.
I would as well, and that's also because of what I feel is becoming a less and less useful, or at the very least dependable asset of Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is not as dependable as I think I valued him to be previously.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago, we all thought he was going to get the receiving work that he did in college.
Yeah.
And he's just never really got that. Next one from DJ Weber in PPR single quarterback. Team one gets Swift. Team two gets Higgins, Hurts, second, and next year's first.
That's the one for me.
I agree. I think that's an easy smash. Higgins in the first, probably pretty equal to Swift. That one's a pretty good trade. And then you get an extra quarterback. Jalen Hurts is good. And a second round pick as well. Why not? That's the side I like. I prefer the package on this one. Now from Maud 9540 in a 10-team Superflex PPR. The first trade is giving up Devonta, which I assume is Smith and not Freeman these days. Devonta, 2022 first, and A.J. Dillon to get Kamara.
I think this is the first one that I'm going to go with Kamara on this one. I've been begrudgingly accepting other trades and saying, sure, get rid of Kamara. Uh-huh. But this one, you want Kamara. He is the certified stud.
I agree. Maud also laid out his team here. It looks like a very solid lineup. I agree. Give me Kamara. Push you over the top. The second one is give up a 2022 first and get Sam Darnold. So his quarterback situation, to give context, that he's got Mahomes, Matt Ryan, Zach Wilson, and Heinicke. So this is picking up a new second/third quarterback. The value's honestly probably about right with how Sam Darnold's playing. I feel like I'd rather spend my first and get someone else. I think you're okay. I don't think there's that many weeks where you'd want to start Darnold over Matty Ice. But I mean, if you really, you're going all in because this roster is good, it does make some sense. The second comment that I see from DJ Weber in half point PPR single quarterback league, Team A gets Zeke and Gesicki. Team B gets Hollywood, a first, a second this year, and next year also a first and a second. So Zeke and Gesicki for two firsts, two seconds, and Hollywood Brown.
I value Hollywood Brown over Gesicki. Mm-hmm. And so you're looking at, is Zeke worth two firsts and two seconds? And I no longer think he is.
I'd take the picks.
It's the picks time.
I think I agree. I would take the package. Also, you know, haven't talked about it yet on this podcast. Hollywood is someone that's proving me wrong. You know,
Hollywood is starting to show up.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bateman's eventually going to show up and maybe hurt his stock a little bit. But a lot of people, myself included, they lump all of those very fast, small receivers, like your Mecole Hardman, Henry Ruggs, Hollywood, these guys all together. Hollywood showed me something that he's taking a lot more. Like, even Henry Ruggs last week, you know, he caught a bomb pass and that's going to happen. But he hasn't done anything that has really impressed me. Like, oh, Henry Ruggs looks really good this year. No, Hollywood actually looks really good to me this year. Next from Epic Storytime in a half-point Dynasty 10-team Superflex League. This is the first year of a startup, so tough to tell if he's contending or not, but he's 2-0 and the other guy's 0-2. So maybe he's going for it. Who knows? Usually in that first year, everyone's kind of more in the mix. It's more like a redraft league. But anyway, he received Tyreek Hill and James Robinson. He gave away Calvin Ridley, Kareem Hunt, 2022 second rounder, and he's saying hopefully mid-late if he continues this streak going. So you've got a second, Kareem Hunt, Calvin Ridley for Tyreek and James Robinson. I love me some Ridley, but I am going to go with Tyreek here. So I think it was a good move.
I can't go against the Tyreek.
Mm-hmm. I actually do value James Robinson and Kareem Hunt fairly close as well. But yeah, to me, the extra bonus of Tyreek on that team versus Calvin Ridley on that team, you know, I'm going to take the more locked in win now option of Tyreek. Next from A owner in a 12-team half PPR one quarterback league. One team's contending, the other's tanking. Javonte Williams, two 2023 firsts, Bryan Edwards, and a 2023 second.
Okay.
So big trade. You're getting Tyreek, Tyson Williams, and a 2022 fifth. So basically two firsts, two seconds, Javonte Williams and Bryan Edwards. To me, that is worth more than Tyreek. And Tyson Williams is a fine asset. A fifth is whatever. But the picks to me are worth more than Tyreek. So I can definitely assume which side's tanking, which side's contending. Clearly the contender's grabbing Tyreek here. But just strict value, I think the rebuilder came out ahead on this one.
I would agree. Tyreek Hill is phenomenal. And I hear that. But when you're at the point where you have multiple firsts, it's time to start looking. Time to start thinking.
Makes sense. Now from iBarbells says, in a 10-team PPR Superflex, George Kittle for Mark Andrews, second this year and a second next year. Both seconds are projected mid to late.
I'm going to go with no. I'm sticking with Kittle. George. I know George is at a terrible start to the year. I hear it. I'm too excited about how he's going to play with Lance.
Okay. To me, it's not even Lance. I don't think there's a huge difference, but I think you can get more for Kittle at a point. Yeah, I do like Mark Andrews. He's been solid. He's going to continue to be solid. But yeah, I also am on the side of Kittle, although I think for me, this is a lot closer than it seems to be for you. Now from Doke561 in a 10-team Superflex full PPR, Mahomes, a second, two-thirds, and a fourth for Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, and four firsts. So you're moving Mahomes and you're getting
interesting.
A lot back. First time we've talked about Deshaun Watson in a minute.
I know, and I am going to do it. Deshaun Watson is too interesting an asset to completely ignore in this trade. Mm-hmm. I do think he's going to play in the NFL again.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, he's not Patrick Mahomes level, but he's going to be close to up there. Plus, you got the four firsts.
Yeah, obviously, you're moving on from Mahomes. And he talks about it here a little bit, and the fact that he's struggling with it because you don't want to lose Mahomes. He also mentioned that this is a 6-point touchdown passing league, so Mahomes is even slightly more valuable. But I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be very good for fantasy for years to come. I think Deshaun Watson is going to become a starter again and is going to be not that different from Mahomes once he's back. And then four firsts is just too much to turn down. Yeah. So I think you make this deal. The four firsts are a lot, even if they're late. That's just so much capital. He also says he's not really contending right now. It doesn't matter as much because these quarterbacks have such a long shelf life. But what that does tell me is if you're more of that rebuilder, all of those firsts are going to help you turn that rebuild around quickly. You're going to get so much more depth, so much more talent on your team that it's worth it to move on from your stud Mahomes at this point. Then finally, our last comment from Raimondo Felton.
Hello, Raimondo.
In a 16-team Superflex PPR tight end premium.
Okay, bizarre.
Can already tell you, tight ends are valuable in a 16-team tight end premium. Just made two trades he's having buyer's remorse over.
Oh, I hear you.
First trade was two late firsts this year, and what he's thinking will be a late first next year for Saquon, Kyle Trask, and a mid-second.
I don't know if you need to have buyer's remorse over this one because it's all undecided.
It's all on Saquon's shoulders.
It's on Saquon's shoulders. If Saquon shows up, then you're gonna be just fine. I don't think I would have pulled the trigger. I think
I would have.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Also depends how long ago this was, but
I would need to see Saquon have a return to form performance. Mm-hmm. I'm too nervous.
Yeah, my guess is probably this happened at least before week two happened. Like, I don't think this is as of like yesterday or whatever, but Saquon to me is worth it. Also, my assumption based off if you're giving away these presumed to be late picks is that you are going for it. You have a very good team, and Saquon, I know he hasn't helped you yet, and that's where the buyer's remorse comes in because he has only hurt your team, but he will help you. He's just too good of a player. Then the second trade traded away Daniel Jones, George Kittle, Chris Carson, and a late third for Hockenson, Alvin Kamara, and Deshaun Watson.
I'm with it. I'm with that one.
Yeah, and he also says his QB1, by the way, is Pat Mahomes. So
yeah, I'd be remorseless for that last trade.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Kittle to Hockenson drop down, if it's even still a drop down, is not huge. And then, assuming you aren't needing Daniel Jones in your Superflex spot right now, you've got someone else. Deshaun Watson in a year or 2 years will clearly be worth more than Daniel Jones is. And you got Alvin Kamara for then Chris Carson and a late third. I think that's a smash, and it goes to show me that your team probably is quite good.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, I like it. I like what you're doing over there, Raimondo. You got a good-ass team. That's it, though, everyone. That is all of our trades. We love these type of episodes. I think it's so much fun to go through all of your guys' trades. Thank you to everyone who submitted a trade here. I think it's a lot of fun doing this stuff, helping you guys out.
Yeah, boys.
And if these are trades that you're considering and you make it due to our advice here, you push the accept button and send me a screenshot on Twitter at Deep Dive Dynasty. I'd love to see it. However, before we end this episode, as always, we're going to do our Dynasty Buy of the Week segment this week. I've got 5 hints for Toby. If you want to know how this game works, you can find it in the description below. Toby, are you ready for hint number 1?
Oh, I'm ready.
Number one is that this player is the wide receiver 97 through the first 2 weeks of the season.
Okay, so he's not exactly off to a blazing start. 97 is bad. Or he has only played a game. The guy just hasn't done much. Diami Brown.
Good damn guess, Toby. Oh, you are correct.
Are you serious?
You 100% called it. That's wild.
Yes, baby.
That's only happened once or twice ever where it was just a shot in the dark that was correct. It is Diami Brown. You've done it.
Huh. Well, now I feel bad that you've gone to the painstaking process. My thought process was, who is a guy that, one, hasn't done a whole lot yet, mm-hmm. probably young, and
I've at least mentioned it to him, I think, on Sunday. That's like, oh, he actually was out there for a
while. Yeah, I think he mentioned his name once. I thought about Rondale Moore and then remembered he ran in a
he's too good for 60 that 90 plus year
touchdown or something. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yep.
Listen, I'm on the ball, baby.
Yeah, just killing it. Well done. That's our first guess number one correct in a hot minute. The reasoning for why Diami Brown's a good buy right now, I think, is simply that the underlying numbers look quite good for him, and he hasn't blown up yet. Obviously, he's the wide receiver 97. He's got 10 targets over 2 weeks. Nothing crazy. Sure. But in Curtis Samuel's absence, he has immediately stepped up to being the wide receiver 2 on that team. He's run the second most routes. He has been on the field for the second most amount of snaps, obviously behind Terry McLaurin for all of these stats. He's tied with Adam Humphries for the second most targets. They both are at 10. And looking at him as he plays, he's impressed me. I think coming out, my fear with him was that in college he ran very, very few routes. It was a lot just down the sideline, being faster than other players, grabbing deep touchdowns similar to Tomori and Terry. You know, these are just guys that were burning down the sidelines, and that was it. And I needed to see a lot more route running to be confident in him. And so far, what I've seen on the field has made me more confident in him. I think he is worth it. Sure, Curtis Samuel coming back will probably eat into his ability to be the team's number two, but he's not a win-now guy. You're grabbing him for future upside, and I think he can establish himself as the wide receiver two on hopefully an improving offense. So I think he is the type of guy that you probably need to buy soon, because one of these games he's going to catch a Rondale Moore-esque long bomb touchdown and then his price will very immediately shoot up.
I'm buying it. I really worry about how he's going to establish himself in a rookie with Heineke in some parts, but
sure,
I just don't think that it impacts his long-term value that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as he just does fine.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need him to blow up year one, but as long as he's not irrelevant in that offense, which he clearly doesn't look irrelevant to me.
He's not. 10 targets, it's got to be more than Robbie Anderson.
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah. But that's it, everyone. That is the 75th episode of the Deep Dive Dynasty podcast. Again, make sure you follow us over on Twitter at Deep Dive Dynasty. You can always DM us over there and ask us any fantasy questions you have. We're always happy to answer questions like what we went through today. I do that all the time for people who slide into my DMs, so hit me up over there. Thank you so much again for being here, Toby. Thank you all for listening, and have a good one.
Peace.